This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The lines are open. You can always give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bothering you. Well, before the break, we had a question about color, about the fact that the sky is black, and yet things are not black on the Earth or on Mars. And what's the origin of the color of things? Well, let's try to answer them one at a time. First of all, the atmosphere of Mars is actually pink because of the dust that is lofted into the sky because of dust storms, and it's red because of ferric oxide. Mars is the rusty planet. Now, the sky on the Earth is blue. And why is that? Because light from the sun is scattered off the atmosphere, and blue light scatters more than red light. And that's why when you look directly at the sun at sunset, it looks reddish, because you're looking at unscattered light, and red light does not scatter much. When you look away from the sun, you're looking at scattered light, and blue scatters more than red. That's why the sky is blue. But then why is outer space black? Well, that's a question for the ages. It turns out that this is a paradox that went on for centuries. Why is the night sky black? You see, if there are infinite number of stars, which is logical, and the universe is infinitely old, then you should see an infinite amount of starlight coming into your eyeball, so your eyeball should melt. The sky should be white, not black. And everywhere you look, you should see a star, and the sky should be white, not black. Well, this is called Olber's paradox. It's one of the greatest paradoxes of all time. And the paradox was unsolved for hundreds of years until finally, of all people, Edgar Allan Poe published the first solution to Olber's paradox. The great mystery writer, Edgar Allan Poe, was also an amateur astronomer, believe it or not. And just before he died, he wrote a book where he talked about many of his dreams and things, and then he wrote down the answer to Olber's paradox. The answer to Olber's paradox is that the universe had a beginning. Therefore, when you look at the night sky, you do not see an infinite number of stars going on forever and ever. There's a cutoff. A cutoff because there was a beginning. There was a Big Bang. Now, this is deep. This is really deep. When I take a shower at night, I think about this. Why is the night sky black and not white? Because there was the Big Bang. Because the universe is not infinitely far, infinitely old. It is finite. That there was, in fact, a beginning to time, to the beginning of the universe. It's an amazing thing that I think about all the time. Now, if your eyes could see microwave radiation, you could actually then see the fireball. You can actually see the fireball that gave us the universe, the fireball of the Big Bang, if your eyes could see microwaves. Now, your eyes cannot see microwaves, but our instruments, our radio telescopes, can in fact see microwave radiation, and we can photograph the fireball. And so I think about this at night when I take a shower. Why is the sky black and not white? Because you're looking at the cutoff of light. That there was a beginning. Before that, there was no light. And that's why the night sky is black. Amazing. Okay, well, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Doctor. I am John from Atlanta, Georgia, and I listen on TalkStream Live. And I have a question about how man fights fire. It seems that since man has discovered fire, he extinguishes it by smothering it or removing the fuel source. I'm wondering, do you see a future where man can use some type of energy like a beam or other force that can be directed at a flame and cause it to extinguish rather than just dropping of slurry or dropping of water or throwing dirt on a fire? Is the day going to be when man can extinguish a fire through the use of counter energy rather than smothering the fire? Thank you.
Well, actually, I've thought about that question, especially in California, where you have the biggest forest fires in recorded history ravaging California, where I was born years ago. And so you begin to wonder about that question. Is it possible to create an energy source that could suck up the energy rather than simply dumping water or chemicals on a flame? Well, some people have talked about black light. That black light would be light that absorbs light, so it would be black rather than white. And if you shine black light at a flame, it would suck the energy right out of a flame. Well, that's science fiction. And so far, we see no evidence of black light. And the energy that we see around us is positive energy. Using the quantum theory, we can catalog all the different kinds of energy that we see around us, and black light is unfortunately not one of these energies. However, it is a tantalizing idea that maybe one day somebody could find a way to suck up energy rather than create energy. Now, one of the problems is the second law of thermodynamics. The second law of thermodynamics has many different forms, but one of them is that flames and heat tend toward chaos, and that's one reason why fires grow rather than fires getting smaller and smaller. And so you bump up against the laws of thermodynamics. So, well, I'm not saying you can't do it, but I know of no way to create black light. I know of no way to create a way to suck up energy, because it takes energy to do work, and therefore it takes energy to suck up energy, and where's the gain in that? So I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying that at the present time, we know of no way to simply contain a forest fire. Sorry about that. Well, unfortunately, our time is up. Once again, you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku, and you can join us every week by tuning into Science Fantastic, and you can get on the air by giving us a call at 612-564-8135, and perhaps you can have your questions and your thoughts heard on national radio. So this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
Cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Dr. Michio Kaku, Professor of Theoretical Physics at the City College and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. And in this hour, we're going to rocket into outer space and also into the future. We're going to be talking about the next 20 years of space exploration. Our special guest today is Rod Pyle, space historian, journalist, author, and is a new book just coming out called Space 2.0, How Private Spaceflight, a Resurgent NASA, and an International Partners are Creating a New Space Age. So once again, today we're going to talk about going back to the moon, going on to Mars, the asteroid belt, launching new space telescopes, and all the new things happening in outer space. And also, if you want to find out more about what I do, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. We have about 1 million fans that get my Twitter feeds. And I have 4 New York Times bestsellers.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Time, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222. To discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Rod Pyle, space historian, journalist. He's worked carefully with NASA and the JPL over the years, and he's the author of a new book, Space 2.0, How Private Spaceflight, a Resurgent NASA, and International Partners Are Creating a New Space Age. Where we last left off, we were talking about the fact that after a 50-year gap since we last went to the moon, we're going back. So first of all, once again, tell us a little bit about the SLS booster rocket, the Orion space capsule, and the mission to go back to the moon. Will it be this year or next year after a 50-year gap?
Well, if you and I dump that answer, we can make a lot of money in Las Vegas because there's people betting on that, I think, as we speak. I'm guessing for 2021, 2022 window. But, you know, that date continues to slide. Because both Orion and SLS have been more slowly developed since the end of Constellation, it's been a long haul. But things seem to be on schedule. As you know, there's some pushback from the public sector and from the media both. on this is a very large, expensive program, a little bit of pushback on the fact that SLS is an expendable large booster, and some talk about the potential we have with companies like SpaceX and Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin in terms of their large reusable boosters, neither of which of the next generation will be as big as SLS, but you can still do a lot of things with those, especially if you're willing to commit to multiple launches. So we're going to see, you know, but for me, I would just add that the one thing that occurs to me is, you know, either Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos could wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know, making rockets isn't a great way to make money. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't see that because they're both visionaries, but it could in theory happen. And that would leave us with SLS. So I think it'll probably forge forward and fly somewhere in that span of dates we discussed.
Okay, well, if you read the press releases from the private sector, they say that, well, the SLS is nice, but it would cost perhaps $1 billion per space mission. Each mission would perhaps, at best, once a year to launch this $1 billion mission. And private enterprise, they say, can do it much cheaper. We have Elon Musk with the Falcon Heavy. And last year, the Falcon Heavy made headlines when it actually launched from the exact site at Cape Canaveral that sent the Apollo 11 mission into space. But instead of sending a capsule into space, it sent a Tesla motor car into outer space. So tell us a little bit about the competition. What about the Falcon Heavy and at some point the new Armstrong rocket?
Well, so the Falcon Heavy is a large triple version of the Falcon 9 booster, which was he tried to repurpose the Falcon 9 by just tripling it up and adding them together. Didn't quite work out that way, so that schedule got pushed by a number of years. But as you said, that test launch was beautiful, went off right on time. How often does that happen? And made this remarkable flight, putting up, he had a choice of putting up solid ballast or his Roadster for the test. What better public relations camp can you have than putting your personal car in orbit? I think that did more for the new space age than anything I've seen in 10 years. So we've got that. We've got new Armstrong coming online in the next few years. So these are both competition for SLS, if you can really call it a competition. The numbers, roughly, we don't know about new Armstrong yet, but for Falcon Heavy, the numbers are roughly a tenth of what it will probably cost to launch SLS, maybe even a 20th, because you really look at the way at what SLS has cost over time. I personally think it's going to be way more than $1 billion a flight, and one or two NASA people I've spoken to have kind of grunted and said, yeah, maybe. Because at this point, mainly because the flight manifest is so short, it's only 5 or 7 flights, something of that nature. If they fly it more often, obviously it'll end up costing less, but that's a big question mark. And even NASA internal studies have shown that it's cheaper to let SpaceX do what they do than it is for NASA to try and do the same thing by a factor of anywhere between half and a fifth. So I think, the private sector should really be engaged at full speed to do what they do best, which is probably going to end up being lifting moderate to large, heavy masses, and then let NASA do what it really does best, which is the distant exploration. Is there a legitimate role for SLS in that? That's a long conversation. Is there a legitimate role for Orion? I think absolutely yes, because there's nothing else quite like it now.
Okay, well, let's talk about cost. In 1966, the Apollo space budget consumed 5% of the federal budget. 5% of every tax dollar you gave the IRS went to the space program. Now, that was unsustainable. Today, it costs about $10,000 to put a pound of anything into near-Earth orbit. That's roughly your weight in gold. So think of your body made out of solid gold. That's what it costs to put you into outer space. Now comes Elon Musk with his reusable rocket. He claims he could bring it down eventually to $1,000 a pound, a tenth of what it costs normally. So do you think, therefore, that this could usher in a new golden age of space exploration where the costs keep dropping?
Absolutely, and that conversation is really at the core of the Space 2.0 book. The shuttle, you know, these numbers are pretty gooey, but the shuttle is estimated to cost somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 a pound, as you discussed. The Falcon 9 at this point is somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500. And let's bear in mind, you know, a gallon of water weighs a number of pounds, so when you start looking at it from that perspective, by golly, that's expensive, and you've got to make sure the astronauts do everything they can in the morning before they launch to lighten themselves and save some money. So it's a big conversation, this cost per pound to orbit and beyond. I think one of the things that SpaceX and Blue Origin both talk about quite a bit is bringing this cost down by reusability, by regular and frequent space flight, by their advanced engineering and innovation and so forth. And that conversation has gone as far as to say it'll come down to being roughly a tenth, and maybe even eventually, at least what Blue Origin has said at one point, a 100th of what it costs now. And that's when you really see things beginning to happen. Will it happen with those two companies? Probably, maybe, not sure. You know, there's this new contender, which is China. There's a couple of companies there that are building also reusable rockets they're experimenting with that look an awful lot like the Falcon. Same kind of landing leg arrangement and so forth. They're much smaller. They're only able to launch between hundreds and a thousand or a little bit more pounds. But that's big competition. And given that the government is so far apparently being very cooperative and helpful in a way not dissimilar from what's happening here, but possibly a little bit more aggressive, that could be real, quite real competition. So ultimately, the ultimate cost lowering may happen there. We'll have to see.
Okay, well, it turns out that NASA has more than just plans to orbit the moon. They want to have a permanent lunar orbiter and perhaps use that as a jumping-off point for a Mars mission. So tell us a little bit about not the ISS, not the International Space Station, but the Lunar Space Station. Tell us a bit about the prospects of it, and can it be used to jumpstart a mission to the planet Mars?
That's a big conversation right now. There's a lot of people that think it's a good idea. There's a lot of people that don't think it's a great idea. And at this point, it's called Lunar Orbiting Platform -Gateway, or LOPG, which they really need a better name. So let's just call it the Gateway. That's where things seem to be going. So the Gateway will be in this kind of weirdo halo orbit around the moon that is convenient for building it, putting it there, but not the most effective necessarily for doing what we want to do on the moon, which I think in general terms, collectively, is we want to go back. We want to send robots there. We want to send humans there. If they're robots, we'd rather operate them from that space station telerobotically. Since it's in orbit around the moon, there's much less lag time than operating them from Earth. That's one argument in favor of the station, of the Gateway. Another is, yes, it could be this possibly a jumping-off point for missions to Mars and back. Although there's some discussion about if it's really situated the best place to be doing that or not. Some feel it's not. I think the strongest thing to the Gateway is it does extend our presence beyond Earth orbit. It does give us a place to experiment in a harsher environment. It's a little bit like going from an Arctic station to a station on the Antarctic plateau. You're leaving the safety of Earth orbit, which is only a few hours preparation of the orbit time for the space station, going out a few days to the moon. You're now outside of the protective magnetosphere, so you've got to worry about radiation and a number of other factors environmentally out there. So it's a good step in the right direction.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to talk about going to Mars. Is that really the best way to go to the red planet? And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on Science Fantastic. So give us a call, 612-564-8135.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Protesters in cities across the world staged rallies demanding leaders take tougher action against climate change days before the latest global conference in Madrid. The rallies kicked off in Australia, where people affected by recent devastating wildfires joined young environmentalists protesting against the government's pro-coal stance. Teenage activist Greta Thunberg, who was traveling across the Atlantic by sailboat to attend the climate talks, sent a message of support to the protesters on Twitter.
Twitter. Since starting her one-woman climate strikes in Sweden more than a year ago, Thunberg has drawn a large following around the world and inspired thousands more students to regularly skip school on Fridays and join the climate protests. Further rallies took place in Germany, Hungary, Belgium, South Korea, Poland, England, Turkey, Italy, Spain, and France, where environmental protesters took a swipe at Black Friday. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
How would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but four free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now, and you'll get four free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever, and you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your four free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. A special guest today is Rod Pyle, space historian, journalist, and author of an exciting new book. The new book is called Space 2.0, How Private Spaceflight, a Resurgent NASA, and International Partners are Creating a New Space Age. And if you want to know more about it, get a copy of my book. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's called The Future of Humanity, talking about terraforming Mars, going on to Titan, perhaps. Perhaps if we get our act together, going to the nearby stars. And so we'll talk about that in a moment. However, let's get right back to our special guest today, Rod Pyle, a graduate of Stanford, space historian, journalist. He's worked for years with NASA and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Well, we last left off, we were talking about NASA's plan to go back to the moon with a lunar orbiter called the Gateway. Now, other people say, bah, humbug, what a waste of time. Why not just jump right to Mars. I mean, the moon is so close by, Mars is much farther away, so what's the benefit of going to the moon? In fact, Elon Musk of SpaceX has the BFR rocket. The BFR rocket, one of the biggest rockets ever conceived of in history, is designed to go to the planet Mars. So, what are your thoughts about whether or not we should go back to the moon or simply skip the moon and go on to Mars?
I think I've gradually become a convert to the return to the moon faction. A large part of that is simply trying to be practical. You know, I think the amount of money and effort it would take to do a government Mars program at this point would be very challenging. I think you'd find people like Buzz Aldrin, who's long been a leading thinker on this topic, would agree. You know, it just depends on who you talk to when you have this discussion. One thing I do find very heartening was I was at a conference recently that the National Space Society sponsored, and off the record was told by somebody in a position to know that NASA is, again, looking very closely at putting money into a crewed human lunar lander. That's in addition to what Jeff Bezos is doing at Blue Origin, his Blue Moon lander. So there is some conversation about getting from that lunar orbiting station down to the surface of the moon and starting to do productive work there. If we could start working with the Chinese, we can't right now because of the ITAR regulations and the Wolf Amendment, both of which are designed to make that challenging, that kind of cooperation challenging. But if you start working with the Chinese, who have a very aggressive, well-planned, well-paced lunar program that's moving ahead, we might be able to do something much more quickly, both the moon and Mars, but that's a different conversation. But yeah, I think Mars is a logical next step, and hopefully this work at the moon, rather than turning out to be a delay in getting to Mars, will actually, fingers crossed.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about the BFR, the Big Falcon Rocket. The latest press release I saw said that Elon Musk may want to simply skip the Falcon and go with the BFR, both to the moon and on to Mars. So how real is the BFR? If you look at the press release, you look at the videotapes of the BFR, it sounds like this is the way to go. But hey, what are your thoughts?
They're building it not too many miles from me in a big Tyvek tent down in San Pedro. So I think it's real because I've seen little bits and pieces of it. But, you know, how well it'll fly and how soon is the real question. By the way, he's renamed it again. I think BFR was the third name. It's now called Starship. So, yeah, it's a little more inspiring, I guess. You know, I think if he can continue to stay the course, it's a really promising design. The mission goals are...
Okay, we're going to have to take another short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue with Science Fantastic. So once again, you've been listening to Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we continue the discussion of exploring the universe.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network or VPN to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO11 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO11 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO11 to 350350.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Rod Piles, space historian, journalist, and author of a new book. The book is called Space 2.0, How Private Spaceflight, a Resurgent NASA, and International Partners Are Creating a New Space Age. Well, we talked about NASA, which is pushing its SLS booster rocket, and the controversy over how expensive that rocket is going to be. And we talked about Elon Musk, who already has a moon rocket called the Falcon Heavy. He already launched a Tesla motor car into outer space. We can calculate when it would be going past Mars, in fact. Who would have thought that a roadster would be flung into outer space? But now let's talk about Jeff Bezos, another billionaire who's also been in the news. He has his own private spaceport in Texas, and he has a reusable rocket, apparently fully capable of taking tourists to the edge of space, not to mention the fact he has plans to build a moon rocket as well. So tell us a little bit about what Jeff Bezos has been doing, especially with his private spaceport in Texas.
Jeff Bezos has a company called Blue Origin that is building the New Shepard rocket, which is the one you just mentioned, for suborbital tourist use, and a larger one called New Armstrong, and possibly after that an even larger one called New Glenn. The New Armstrong and New Glenn kind of straddle the Falcon Heavy in terms of capability. He's actually been doing this longer than Musk has. Musk started SpaceX in 2002. Blue Origin started in 2000. But if getting news out of SpaceX is like trying to get news from the Soviet Union back in the 70s and 80s, getting news out of Blue Origin for a long time is like trying to get news out of North Korea. It's gotten better, by the way, as things have picked up. So they've had a number of successful flights with the New Shepard. It looks like it'll be flying with test pilots this year, we think. And as you mentioned, it's a small suborbital rocket. And its role will be to take tourists to the edge of space, not quite up to orbit, but just shy of that, the suborbital lob, much like the early Mercury missions, and also carry microgravity research, only needs short durations. And then he's got big plans beyond that, including the building of a lunar lander for cargo.
Right. And I was reading the papers last year, and it mentioned the fact that Amazon is considering the possibility of regular shipments from the Earth to the Moon, sort of like being able to order a book on Amazon.com from the Moon. And so the Moon could become a regular destination for commerce. What are your thoughts about some of these grand plans?
I think they're promising, and that's an extension of that discussion that he was having about the Blue Moon Lander, which is his planned lander. It's robotic, but it can deliver cargo to the moon and potentially bring materials back to Earth. So now you've got the very beginnings, with some other companies doing things in low Earth orbit and cislunar space, the beginning of this two-way commerce, where if you find things on the moon that you want to process, so let's say, for instance, water ice, which is good for breathing oxygen and rocket fuel and potable water and a bunch of other things, rather than spending thousands of dollars per gallon to launch it from Earth, ultimately, if you have the infrastructure hammered down and paid for, you're spending a lot less to mine it on the moon, use it on the moon, and then Bezos can launch it back into low Earth orbit, probably for less money than it costs just to launch it 100 miles over our heads. So this is where we start getting into this whole cislunar economy discussion that is so exciting, because there are a lot of resources, as you know, out there. I've read your books, you know, all this stuff, resources out in the moon and asteroids that can make this whole process of putting people in the solar system much easier.
Okay, and also tell us a little bit about another billionaire, Richard Branson, and he has Spaceship Two, and he's going to charge $200,000 for the privilege of going right to the edge of space. So we now have not one, but two possible space tourist rockets. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, and I think that price is up to $250,000 now, so suddenly it went way out of my budget. Richard Branson has Virgin Galactic, which he acquired after Burt Rutan had used that company, which was originally called Scaled Composites, to win the Ansari X Prize, flying up into suborbital space, not quite that high, but flying a rocket plane twice in a week. So, you know, we had a lot of hopes. It's very exciting. He made lots of big proclamations. They're hopefully going to be flying this rocket plane of his, which is carried up by a larger
Okay, well, we have to take another short commercial break. Once again, you're listening to Rob Pyle, space author of a new book, Space 2.0, and you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science, and today with us is Rod Pyle, author of an exciting new book just coming out. The book is called Space 2.0, How Private Spaceflight, a Resurgent NASA, and International Partners Are Creating a New Space Age. And go to my website, it's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. My latest book, my latest New York Times bestseller, is called The Future of Humanity, talking about terraforming Mars one day, perhaps going to the asteroid belt, perhaps even one day going to the stars. Well, Rod, we talked a little bit about Mars, we talked a little bit about space tourism, but what are your thoughts about the larger vision? Jeff Bezos has a vision to make the Earth into a celestial park or a garden, putting heavy industries into outer space. And Elon Musk wants to put 1 million people on Mars to create a settlement for a multi-planet species. So what are your thoughts about the grand vision of some of these billionaires?
Well, I love both those visions, and I am very grateful that those two gentlemen exist and others coming up behind them, because they've really changed the name of the game. I mean, this is a whole new deal than it was 20 or 30 years ago. Who would have dreamt? This is like those movies in the 1950s where some crazy scientist decides he's going to build a moon rocket in his garage. It gets a little bit more complex, as it turns out. But it's wonderful to watch this happen. And I'll add, I share both those visions. I think Musk's idea separates me a little bit is this idea of humans 2.0 on Mars to continue the species. It's not a bad idea, but it's a big challenge because, as you know, you've written about it, Mars is going to be a really challenging, nasty place to live. Bezos is a little closer to visions of organizations like the National Space Society that say, look, let's have millions of people living and working in space. They'll be all over the place, moon, Mars, low Earth orbit, this lunar space. But effectively, let's let Earth repair itself a little bit. Let's get heavy industry and polluting processes off the planet. Let it get back to normal. Let the atmosphere balance out to what it's supposed to be, hopefully, if we stop putting as much stuff into it. And that's Bezos' vision. And he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's investing $1 billion of his own money in Blue Origin every year. That's a big number. So I think they're both really exciting. And I hope that they can eventually make enough of a profit on this to really forge ahead even more aggressively.
Well, now let's talk about yet another set of billionaires from Google. What they want to do is make money off the asteroid belt. We now have photographs of asteroids, we've intercepted comets, so why not bring one of them back because they may have platinum-based rare earth metals and maybe make a profit out of a new gold rush in outer space. So what are your thoughts about mining the asteroids?
I think it's a great idea. It certainly shows lots of promise. As you know, there's a lot of precious stuff on them that's potentially very useful, both in terms of precious and rare earth metals and water ice and so forth. The challenge seems to be in getting to them, prospecting them, figuring out what you want from where, and getting that somewhere where it's useful. In terms of bringing asteroids back towards Earth, of course, there's a bit of nervous conversation about these things being weaponized, because sending it back towards Earth isn't all that different than sending it back to Earth. And if you happen to send it back to the country of somebody you don't like very much, that's a very bad day for everybody. So we're going to have that conversation and figure out a set of national accords that can really control that adequately. I'm more excited about mining material from the asteroids, both in terms of volatiles like water ice and also the metals that you can use for smelting and sintering and 3D printing, and using that to build larger spacecraft and other processes for settlement in space and robotic machines and so forth. And both between the asteroids and the moon, that's really an emerging area. There's a couple of companies that formed to start doing that. It's been a struggle for them. I think it's probably 5 to 10 years off. But, boy, what a great thing if we could start using resources that are already in space. That's fantastic.
Now, some people say, well, asteroids are just nothing but rock in outer space. However, when the Earth was molten, many of the heavier elements sunk to the center of the Earth. So the surface of the Earth is quite different from the center of the Earth. However, asteroids never had that problem. So asteroids still have many of these rare earth and platinum-based chemicals that on the surface of the Earth really no longer exist in large quantities. And given the fact that China has a near monopoly on these rare earth elements necessary for computers, some people get nervous and say, well, maybe we really should go to the asteroid belt. So what are your thoughts about the economics? I mean, do you think people are really serious about this, or are we going to go bust, or will there, you think, be another gold rush in outer space?
I think ultimately there's no choice but to start using those resources as effectively as possible. But one of the things I write about Space 2.0 fairly lengthily is, you know, between where we are now and where we want to be in terms of resource utilization of space, which is, by the way, clean and essentially renewable just because it's absolutely endless out there how much of that kind of rocky and metallic material there is. But between those two points is the logistics we have to build up, and we got a lot of work to do there that starts in Earth orbit, extends out just this lunar orbit and beyond where these near-Earth objects are. So we've got to really start building up fuel storage, getting volatiles from the moon to refill those fuel depots in low Earth orbit and beyond, and just the overall mechanism of cheaply getting up to Earth orbit and then taxiing back and forth to the moon and orbits beyond that where some of these objects are. So that, I think, is going to have to happen first. And that's a lot of heavy lifting, but it's something private industry traditionally has been very good at. So let's let them do it.
Okay, well, unfortunately, our time is up. So, Rod, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, once again, our special guest today was Rod Pyle, author of a new book, Space 2.0, How Private Spaceflight, a Resurgent NASA, and International Partners Are Creating a New Space Age. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe your thoughts will be heard on national radio. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station and the city you're calling from, and ask that question that you've always wanted to ask.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years? and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall. There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.